Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of June, and joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Deaconess Pam Nielsen. We're going to be talking about Adam and Eve's fall into sin. This is often depicted in art. You see a downcast Adam and Eve robed in animal skins. Sometimes it's just the fig leaves. And they're walking dejected out of the garden, being directed by an angel's sword to leave paradise. What happened that God would send them forth from the garden to work the dust of the ground and die in a pool of their own sweat to bring forth children and pain? The curse seems kind of harsh for what some people might say is a one-time mistake. We're going to talk about the fall into sin with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum, Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, it's great to be back.
How seriously does God take sin according to this account?
Well, this is, I guess the $64,000 answer is extremely seriously. Here, God has his two people, the first of his creation, who he's given this beautiful world to and everything in it, and put them in this beautiful garden, and they do one act of disobedience, and they're put out of the garden, never to come back to it, and all of the other things that he says, both to the serpent, who is, as we know, Satan disguised, to the man, to the woman, it's very serious because it's a severing between God and his people. When they once could walk in the garden and feel no fear and have no guilt, be able to converse with God, now suddenly that all has been broken and been cut off very swiftly, and this all by God's doing. Not because he hates them, but because he loves them. And that's the key to this Bible story and teaching it.
We have to tell the story about the fall, and even before we tell the story of the fall, we have to back up even further into the second chapter to talk about the warning that God gave them prior to the fall. Do that, if you would.
Well, that's right. Here he had created this beautiful world, and then all the animals, all the trees, everything, and then created Adam, and for him created a helper, Eve, and told them that this garden was there for them, all of it, except for one tree, for which he told them that they could not eat from. And then that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that was his command to them, and that gave them an opportunity to worship him by obeying him, by regarding what their creator, what their God had done for them. And then Satan, the great deceiver, comes along in chapter 3 and tempts and tricks and uses all of his skill to undo this beautiful relationship God had set up in the garden. And he does it by going to the woman. God gave the command to Adam, and Satan approaches his wife, his bride Eve, and twists the words of God and causes her to question what was going on and what God had said and what did he really mean. And then, of course, they disobey God outright, for Steve and then Adam. And then we have this whole story, of course, of them being found out. They realized immediately what they'd done, and they had to answer to God, and that's all very interesting, too, how they respond to their Maker after this sin.
And so we don't miss the real point here. It is in the midst of God's curse, of Adam and Eve, of Satan, of all of creation, that, as you mentioned a moment ago, God, in his great love for them, makes the promise of the ultimate answer to their sin and to the death and everything that they have just wrought into creation. Talk about that.
That's exactly right. In the middle of all of that, you know, this is swift, this is severe. The Lord first addresses the serpent, talks about him, that he's cursed and on his belly he'll go and eat dust all the days of his life. And then he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. And I remember growing up in Sunday school, never quite getting this. What's that word, enmity? So teachers, you really want to explain this division, this separation, this hatred for or difficulty between the serpent and the woman, between Satan and the woman, because God goes on, and between your offspring and her offspring. And here he's talking about the promised Messiah. As he goes on, he shall bruise your head, the woman's, the offspring of a snake, and you shall bruise his heel. The whole dialogue here, and I think it's very cryptic language, and I think it's something we want to take very slowly with the children to understand whose offspring we're talking about, who's doing the bruising, whose head's being crushed, whose heel is just being bruised. This is all God explaining that because of what has happened here, he will send a Savior, and that Savior will come as an offspring of the woman, and it will be his son, Christ, who will come to this earth. We know that now, for hindsight. And he will crush or bruise the head of the snake, which is to say that he will crush Satan once and for all. Though Satan will bruise his heel and cause trouble for the people of God in this life, but he will ultimately be defeated by Christ on the cross. But that's all in that Genesis 3:15, and it takes some explaining because just a few little words that were spoken before all of God's plan of salvation was unraveled in his word and in his acts and in his way through all of salvation history. But then he turns to the woman and goes on with dealing with their sin. You know, he says to her, I will multiply your pain in childbearing, and pain you shall bear for children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he'll rule over you. And then he turns to Adam and says, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, accursed is the ground because of you, and in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. And he talks about how now work will be hard, and it'll be by sweat and hard work that we'll be able to eat and exist. And that was a result of their sin. But there in the middle of all of that hard stuff is that beautiful promise in chapter 3:15 of Genesis, the promise of a Savior, the offspring of the woman.
So how far separated are Adam and Eve, and therefore are we, in our natural fallen state from our Creator?
Well, we're because of sin, we deserve to die. And the death that we're talking about here is eternal separation from God. Sin causes eternal separation from God. And if it were not for God's love and mercy, his promise here, and his making good on that promise to send his son Jesus, we would have no relationship with God. We would be forever separated from him and all that comes with that, separated from his blessing, from his mercy, from his forgiveness, from life, from salvation. All of that would not be ours, but by God's grace given to us in His Son who died on the cross. This is really, it's the kind of thing that's hard to talk about, and so often we don't want to go this harsh or this hard with kids in Sunday school because, we really see... We see where God is on the whole problem of sin. He is not wishy-washy. He hates sin, and He has to deal with it. And that's exactly what He does here in a very harsh way, and yet in a very loving way. But because of all that's happened, there are consequences for their actions, and He had to put them out of that garden to keep them away, to keep them away from the other tree, the tree of life, because to live forever in sin is no good. And He drove them out, it says, and placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the tree of life. And so in our summer stories, our summer Bible stories that we've assembled for Growing in Christ, this is the first of many journeying stories of God's people. They were sent out of the garden on their way away from it, away from paradise, into the sinful world, the same world that you and I live in.
Well, not a happy journey at all, but when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. It is, in fact, then a journey that begins their steps toward the cross. First, it is Adam and Eve, but it will be from the seed of the woman on that same journey to the cross that all mankind will be redeemed and saved, even every son and every daughter of fallen Adam and Eve. Nowadays, we hear from many Christian churches that the solution to sin is just to try harder, try to eliminate it from your lives. I don't see that in the Genesis account. We'll talk about that after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, June the 1st. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about Adam and Eve's fall into sin. After about another 10 minutes, an hour two of the program, Pastor Heath Curtis will join us. We'll remember Justin Martyr, second century martyr, philosopher, apologist. Then we'll review the best-selling book, Heaven Is For Real, the claim of a little boy having come out of surgery that he went to heaven and sat on Jesus' lap, and he says heaven is for real. We'll see what Pastor Thomas Messer has to say about that best-selling book. Pam, today a lot of churches present sin as a problem, but it's a problem that is, well, more or less easily overcome. It's simply a matter of stop doing that or do something else, a matter of willpower or changing your habits. There's all sorts of approaches, but they all amount to eradicating sin from your own life by what amounts to your own efforts. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, before the break, you said, like, let's look at what this text, what happens here. And it is just crystal clear in Genesis 3 and throughout Scripture that we are unable to deal with our sin. We can never erase it from the beginning. And this is at the beginning. God had to make a promise. He had to have his plan in place for we sinful people, because we can't crawl out of it, we can't get away from it, we cannot change and be different from the sin that is in us, that original sin. And you're right, lots of people have, either they justify it or they think they can overcome it and live a good life, many, many different approaches. All the same one, where it's our effort, and it always falls short. And here God, very clearly, he has the answer from the very beginning. And it's the same answer that he gives to his people all through the Old Testament, through their wilderness wanderings. He sets up the whole system of sacrifice for sin, and those were all precursors, foretastes of the complete and final sacrifice that would come when this promise that he made in Genesis 3:15 of the offspring of the woman to crush Satan, when that promise was made good by Christ on the cross. Everything leading up to that was all temporary, a foretaste, a looking to, and not the final complete thing. But this is how God deals with this, and it's just strange that so much of our, even our religious thinking, our civil thinking, always thinks we can somehow do something about the problem of evil, the problem of sin in us. And God's very clear that we can't.
It's counterintuitive that if we got ourselves into this mess, certainly we can get ourselves out of it.
And, well, that's American.
and yet it seems as though God is saying from the very outset, even before they sin, you get yourselves into this, there's no getting yourself out of it. You will render yourself incapable by the very act of rebellion of doing anything about it. The only solution must come from God himself.
That's exactly right. And you know, the sin here, what happened here is what happens for all of us in our sin. We take our eyes off of God. We take our eyes off of trusting him for all things, off of trusting his word. And Adam and Eve had been given his word. They'd been given this paradise. They'd been given all that they need for their body and life. Well, you know, that's what we confess, but they had it in complete perfection and turned away from it. And that is this sin that we've inherited, that we do the same thing. We question God. We listen to Satan's temptations to him, twisting God's word to calling it into question, and we begin to do those things as well. And then pretty soon we talk ourselves into whatever the sin is, and it doesn't take much. That we have this original sin, this inherited sin, means that is part of our DNA almost. It affects our every thought, word, and deed. And without the Savior, we would be lost completely.
So can we confidently say that Adam and Eve went out of the garden, banished from paradise to save them from themselves, but they went out with the promise of a Savior and therefore faith in that Savior in their heart?
that I think that is what we have to believe and trust in this text and see in it that God made that promise for them. Certainly he faced them with the law, with the guilt of their sin. They knew it full well by their actions, by their words, and they had to face God. And he does send them out. It's both punishment and blessing. Sending them out means they don't have the paradise, the wonderful garden, but it also means that they can't do more harm, eternal harm to themselves, by continuing there in the garden in their sinfulness. And he sends them with this promise, and that is the promise that they trust and go forth with. It's the promise that has been from the beginning, the same promise for Moses and the children of Israel, for David in his sin, for the disciples in their lives with our Lord, for St. Paul, for St. Peter, for you and I. That promise is for all of us. And it is faith in that, trusting in that promise that this Savior is the one who will pay for our sin, who will crush Satan and crush sin so that we might live. That's how we get rid of sin, and that all is of God, and it all comes from God through his word, which convicts us of sin, and his word, which gives out the balm of forgiveness, life, and salvation when we confess our sins and know our sinfulness. God is there with his mercy and grace and creates faith in our heart and sustains it through his word and through our baptism and through his Holy Supper.
So on Sunday morning, when we come before God confessing our sins at the beginning of the divine service, we're just like Adam and Eve, aren't we?
That's exactly right. And, you know, maybe it's not so stark, but it actually is as stark. We're no different from them. It's as if we stand naked before God, and we should be mortified that God might see us, that he might find us, mortified because of our sin. And yet we come to his house, we come to his table, we come with ears open, craving his forgiveness, craving the absolution, the forgiveness of our sins, craving his words of life preached from the mouth of our pastor, and craving his body and blood put on our tongues and in our mouths for the forgiveness of sins. You bet, we're no different than them, and we daily sin much, as Luther wrote, and as Luther said on his deathbed, we are all beggars. That's how we come, that's how Adam and Eve were in that garden, and that's how we are. And by God's grace and love and mercy, he has made us his own through his Son, Christ Jesus, and promises us eternal life with him, away from all sin and all suffering and sorrow.
Folks, Pam mentioned it before, we base our conversations every week with her on Concordia Publishing House's Christ-Centered, Cross-Focused Sunday School Curriculum called Growing in Christ. It walks the kids of all ages every Sunday through the pages of Scripture, not only the famous Bible stories of old-style Sunday school, but those that you may not know, those that may have been neglected, always with the same aim of showing every student of Scripture, regardless of their age, Christ crucified for sinners and raised from the dead on every page, every paragraph, every line of Scripture. It's called Growing in Christ. You can get a free sample from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Pam, as always, thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 1st, Pastor Heath Curtis will be with us. The church is remembering on this day Justin Martyr. Now, that name might sound familiar. It's because he was early and he is well remembered. There are some questions about Justin Martyr's theology. We'll deal with some of those. But what did it mean for him to be an apologist in a world that was both Roman and Jewish, both pagan and, well, ultimately of a religion denying the Messiahship of Jesus Christ? Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. Then we're going to review the book, best-selling book, Heaven is for Real. It's written by a pastor whose son reports to have gone to heaven and come back to tell about it. He talks about heaven as a very pleasant place. He says he met his great-grandfather, his miscarried sister. He was able to sit on Jesus' lap, even see his father praying for him while he was in the midst of a crucial surgery. Is it true? What do we do with a book like this? We'll do a review of the best-selling book, Heaven is for Real, with Pastor Thomas Messer in the second hour of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.